evening and welcome to Van Johnson Arena on the beautiful campus of Marietta College in southeastern Ohio. I'm Colleen Marshall of NBC4, and along with our media partner, WTAP, we welcome you to this town hall style debate. This debate is brought to you by WTAP and NBC4. But all of the questions tonight come from you, the voters of Ohio. Some of the voters asking questions will be live with us here in the audience. Some of them you will see on tape, and some of the questions came to us via social media. But make no mistake, this is your debate. This is your opportunity to hear from the men who want to be governor of Ohio, Republican Mike DeWine and Democrat Richard Cordray. Each will have 90 seconds to respond to the voter questions. Each will also have the opportunity to make a brief opening statement, and Mike DeWine will be going first tonight. I ask the audience now to join me in welcoming both of these men to the stage, Richard Cordray and Mike DeWine. Gentlemen, and welcome to both of you. And Mr. DeWine, we ask you now to give us your opening statement.
Colleen, thank you very much. I want to thank Marietta College for hosting us. They've done a great job on this absolutely gorgeous day and gorgeous campus. You know, I'm excited about the future of the state of Ohio. I'm particularly excited about Southeast Ohio. Lots happened in the last 8 years. Unemployment 8 years ago was double what it is today in Southeast Ohio. And now we have the shale play, which has amazing potential for so many counties in this part of the state. Great opportunities for businesses to come to Ohio because Ohio has the cheapest, will have the cheapest natural gas in the entire world. The cracker plant that we certainly hope is coming, that's going to create a huge investment in this part of the state of Ohio in Belmont County. And again, with great economic spinoff, it's important for us, those of us in government, to make sure that we do the right things to make sure that this goes forward. John Houston and I have a plan. I'd ask you to look at it, MikeDeWine.com. It's a jobs plan, it's a prosperity plan, it's an education plan, it's a plan for children, and it's also a plan to how to deal with our problem in regard to drugs. All those things are necessary and are going to be so very important for all of the state of Ohio, not just for Southeast Ohio. We'll start with our education. We want every child to graduate from high school truly, truly college ready. At the same time, we want other children to graduate so that they have a great opportunity for other careers. To do that, we're going to focus on early childhood development. We're going to focus on our career centers. We have great career centers, great one right here in Washington County. And we're going to have the opportunity, though, to take them to the next highest level. Our whole plan in regard to drugs, we have a plan. It's a 12-point plan. It will make a difference. We'll talk more about that later. Thank you very much. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you. Mr. Cordray?
Thank you to everyone here and everyone watching at home. This is your debate tonight, and I look forward to answering your questions. I'll also do something else tonight. When I get the chance, I'll try to focus as much as possible on one topic, healthcare, that we all know is so important to many Ohioans. Now, Mike DeWine has been Ohio's chief consumer protection official for the past 8 years. It's been his job to prevent price gouging by drug makers and health insurers. How's he done? On Mike DeWine's watch, our healthcare costs are among the 10 worst in the United States. And we pay the third highest deductibles of any state in the country. It's no wonder the big drug companies and health insurance companies have given millions of dollars to Mike DeWine's campaigns. He's been protecting them, not you. And if you or someone in your family has a pre-existing condition, like asthma or diabetes or cancer, you should know this. Mike DeWine took your tax dollars and sent attorneys to court to allow insurance companies to deny you coverage or raise your premiums when you get sick. Think about that. He also sent lawyers to court to wipe out the Medicaid expansion that Governor Kasich later brought to Ohio that has helped so many people. Betty Sutton and I will work to improve health care for all of us. We will battle the greedy middlemen and big drug companies to bring down costs. We will fight to keep Medicaid expansion for the uninsured. And we will protect everyone with a pre-existing condition to make sure that they don't lose their coverage. There's no issue on which Mike DeWine and I disagree more than on health care. And there's no issue more important to Ohio families. I will stand up for you. And meanwhile, his campaign should carry a warning from the Surgeon General. Electing Mike DeWine as governor will be hazardous to your health.
All right, and our first question tonight. Fittingly, our first question tonight is going to a student here at Marietta College. She is a sophomore, Reagan Haas, majoring in sports medicine. Reagan, what is your question? And it goes first to Mr. DeWine.
What programs, policy changes, or preventative measures are you currently working on to keep our schools, K through 12, colleges, and universities safe from gun violence?
Well, thank you very much. That's a very relevant question. Every morning about 7 o'clock, a school bus goes by our house and has two of our grandchildren in that school bus. Everybody in Ohio, I think, is concerned about this. John Houston and I have a real plan. It's a realistic plan that we're going to put into place. Number one, we will have a person who's available, who's a mental health specialist, to every single student in the state of Ohio and to every single teacher. That is so very, very important. We have suicides that are going up, but we also have the opportunity to, the other reason we want to do it is the opportunity to find out if someone has a problem early on. Number two, we're going to have what we call a center in Columbus where we focus on what is going on social media to help schools. We have some schools who have already hired people to do this. Many schools do not. If there's a problem that we pick up on social media, we're going to be there to help the school and to tell the school that as well. I believe every school should have a school resource officer. I think a school resource officer brings about several different things. One, it's an opportunity for that students to interact with that law enforcement officer, plus it is the protection that is there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeWine. And Mr. Cordray, your policies on gun violence.
Thank you for the question, Reagan. My wife and I have two children who are still teenagers. It's very personal to parents in Ohio, and I think it is to young people here. What's remarkable to me is you asked about what we can do to reduce the gun violence. And Mike DeWine, in 90 seconds, never once mentioned the word guns. We have to be more realistic and more forward-thinking about how we're going to solve this problem and reduce the violence. We have to do some common sense things and have the leadership to have universal comprehensive background checks in Ohio so guns are kept out of the hands of criminals and the mentally ill and domestic violence abusers. We need to outlaw bump stocks and high-capacity magazine clips that take a legal firearm and turn it into an illegal automatic weapon. This is the one-year anniversary of the Las Vegas massacre. 58 people died, over 800 were injured because of weapons of that kind. We need to respect the Second Amendment, but we can also move forward with common sense provisions that will help reduce the gun violence. I agree we should have school resource officers in our schools. I think that's helpful. That was true in my children's high school. And I think that we also need to work with law enforcement to reduce the violence on our streets and in our cities, where people are killed by ones and twos every day, and we often don't even notice it. But we're going to have to exert leadership on this issue, and we have to face the real problem, Reagan, in our society, which is how we reduce the gun violence by reducing out-of-control violence on our streets from guns.
And Mr. Cordray, this question goes to you first, and it comes from Allison Goebel, who is with us from Columbus. Allison?
Good evening. The state's population is aging, especially in Ohio's rural areas. How will you help Ohioans age in place and maintain their quality of life, which includes accessing medical care, grocery stores, and other critical services?
Thank you, Allison, for asking about that. I can see you've not reached that age yourself, but many of us care for elderly parents and grandparents. And I will say that as I go across Ohio, I hear about senior citizens cutting their pills in half to be able to afford their medical care on fixed incomes. We need to reduce health care costs across the board in Ohio. This is very important. This is back to health care and how important it is to people in our society. What we will do, Betty Sutton and I, is we will negotiate more aggressively with the drug companies to bring down the price of prescription drugs. That's very important. We will also rein in the greedy middlemen in our system who've taken hundreds of millions of dollars out of our health care, get that back in to improve the health care system or put money back in people's pockets. And we will fight to keep the Medicaid expansion that this legislature opposed, that Mike DeWine fought against for years, tried to make sure that it was wiped out across the country as he fought the Obamacare law. And we need to make sure we keep it in Ohio. These are all ways we can reduce those costs. At the same time, people need to be able to retire with dignity, and that means spreading out opportunity across the state so that people have the chance to maintain a middle-class lifestyle, save a little for retirement, and pay their bills. That's something that we can do, and we will work on that when I'm governor and Betty Sutton is lieutenant governor. Thank you.
And Mr. DeWine?
Allison, excuse me for not answering your question directly for a moment, but I think it is relevant. Mr. Cordray, unfortunately, is wrong, and he knows he's wrong. I have come out in favor throughout my career in favor of protecting people and making sure they have coverage in regard to pre-existing illnesses. I can go back and show you in different campaigns where I said that, and I have fought for that, and I will continue to do that. Second thing is, let me talk a little bit about the Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion, I favor Medicaid expansion. There's a difference between Mr. Cordray and myself. He thinks the status quo is good. I would add a work requirement that would not be punitive in any way, but would rather be to try to get people treatment. If they have a drug problem, try to get them the skills that they need. We would also have a wellness component that will go far beyond anything that we've ever tried in the state of Ohio before. In regard to aging in place, I again apologize, I had to talk about that. Aging in place, we want choices. We want choices for the elderly. We want people to have the options that they want. We want them to have the ability to stay in their home if they can do that. I authored a reauthorization of the Older Americans Act when I was in the United States Congress, and I'm very familiar with all of those issues, and Colleen's getting ready to pull the plug on me.
So. I am.
Thank you.
But you might as well stay up here. The next question goes first to you, Mr. DeWine.
Okay.
And our next question actually comes to us via videotape. This is Deanna Bowersock, who is with UAW Local 1219. This question goes first to Mr. DeWine. We are having some trouble with the sound. Luckily, I transposed her question so I can read it for you. Her question was, if you are elected governor and the state legislature passes a right-to-work bill, will you protect Ohio's working-class families and veto this right-to-work bill?
Deanna, thank you for the question. The answer is yes. This is not a debate or a fight that we need. Ohio has many issues and many challenges that Mike DeWine and John Houston want to deal with. I talked a moment ago about one of the challenges being the skills gap that we are going to close, and very excited about what our career centers are going to do and are doing already. If you have not been to your local career center, go see what one is doing today. We're going to take them to the next highest level so they're literally the best in the world preparing people for 21st century jobs. We have a plan in regard to our drug problem. It's very different than Mr. Cordray's plan. Our plan is a holistic plan. I'll tell you about it. But you can find it again on our webpage, MikeDeWine.com. It covers the most important part, it probably is prevention and education. It is a vigorous plan, K through 12, every single grade. The kids in this state will have something that helps them to resist drugs in the future. Something that's been proven to work and something that is age appropriate. That will be revolutionary. We've not done that throughout the state, and we will.
All right. Mr. Cordray, your answer on right to work?
I have said consistently that if right to work comes before me, I will veto it. However, what Mr. DeWine did not say, and he will not say, is that he also would like to see this be put on the ballot and let the people of the state decide. I don't agree with that. Ohio is not a right-to-work state, should never be a right-to-work state. This was on the ballot 60 years ago, and we voted it down. 7 years ago, they tried to take away collective bargaining rights from public employees. Mike DeWine did not come out against that measure at that time, although, again, it was voted down by the people. The people of the state are very fair. They understand that we should have good working conditions and fair working conditions for people who work hard every day. I'll tell you another thing that Mike DeWine did that I find shameful. People who work overtime, people who come in early or ask to stay late, even though they already work a full-time job, deserve fair pay for that overtime. But Mike DeWine used your tax dollars to send lawyers to court to oppose a Labor Department regulation which would have mandated fair pay for overtime for 327,000 Ohioans. And thanks to his efforts, those workers are not getting overtime now. That lawsuit prevailed, and we are not getting our overtime. People who work hard deserve fair pay for fair work, including overtime, and that should be the way it is in Ohio.
I know it's fun to clap, but if we can hold the applause until the very end, we would appreciate it so we don't take up too much time. Mr. Cordray, this question comes to us via social media, and it is directed at Mr. Cordray. It comes from Paula Brockmeyer of Central Ohio. And Paula says, I would like Mr. Cordray to explain how and why 12,000 rape kits went untested during his tenure as Ohio Attorney General, and how he would prevent this from happening with another attorney general under his watch as governor.
Yes, and I appreciate Paula raising that issue because it has been misportrayed in ads by the DeWine-Husted campaign. The issue of rape kits is this. There were no untested rape kits in the attorney general's office when I was attorney general. All evidence that came to that office was being tested and returned. However, it came up in July of 2010 that due to the Anthony Sowell murders, the Cleveland Plain Dealer found that the Cleveland Police Department had untested rape kits that had never been sent anywhere for testing. What did I do during the 5 months that remained when I was Attorney General? We put the statewide protocol in place for testing rape kits that his office still uses today. We got robotics into the state crime lab so that we could deal with extra evidence on top of the flow, daily flow. And we insisted that rape kits be sent in for testing. That's what I did in 5 months. Now, he's claimed that I ignored this problem, all right? It then took him 7 years to test all the rape kits. If I could have done it in 5 months, then why on earth did it take him 7 years? And if it took him 7 years, then it's a bogus charge to claim that I should have done it in 5 months. The fact of the matter is, I was a tough-on-crime attorney general. That's why the Fraternal Order of Police and the Ohio Patrolmen, the two biggest law enforcement agencies in the state, have endorsed me, not Mike DeWine, in the governor's race. They know I'll be effective on crime. If you want to talk about crime, let's talk about the opioid crisis and fentanyl, which has exploded
on
Mike DeWine's
watch.
Well,
we can't right now
watch.
Because your time is up, but thank you, sir. And Mr. DeWine?
Well, let me tell you what the truth is and what really happened. There's a real fundamental difference between the two of us. What Mr. Cordray did not tell you, did not share with you, is that the day he left office, if there was a rape in your community or a serious crime, were known DNA was taken to our crime lab, it would have sat there for 125 days. We fixed the state crime lab. Today we test cases in an average of 23 days and we can turn them around in 24 hours or less when we have to. Fundamental difference. Let me talk about the old rape kits. When I was in the United States Senate, I read stories in the Cleveland paper about untested rape kits in the state of Ohio. So I don't know why Mr. Cordray didn't know about that. When I took office, I was proactive. Mr. Carter is right. They were not sitting in the Attorney General's office, but we knew where they were. They were all over the state of Ohio. And so I put the group together. I put a group together and challenged them and said, what's the protocol? And they came back and told me every rape kit should be tested. We have now tested close to 14,000 rape kits, 12,000 of those that were there when Mr. Carter was there. We've got matches on a huge number of these, and we have justice for victims, justice for victims. So I'm very proud of what we have done. We've taken rapists off the streets, but more importantly, or equally importantly, there has been justice for those victims.
And this question goes to Mark Van Zanten, who's from right here in Marietta. Mark?
Hi. As a retired nurse, I'm interested in the best medical care. We have excellent facilities here in southeastern Ohio, but we have to go to larger cities for expert care. Many don't have the means to travel to these hospitals. Will you attempt to bring affordable transportation to rural Ohioans to visit bigger cities?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
It is a problem in, Mark, in our rural communities as far as the care. We have some hospitals that have closed in some of our rural areas, so people have to go further and further. So we have an obligation, I think, in the state to partner with the local community. And as governor, this will be something that I'm very concerned about. I've traveled throughout southeast Ohio, I've traveled throughout the entire state, and I understand, I think, the nature of that problem. We need to make sure that our elderly have the care that they need. And a lot of this does come down to transportation. It comes down, and not just in the rural areas, but we have this problem in our cities as well. So we have to focus, when we look at the Ohio Department of Transportation and that budget, we have to focus, I believe, on giving rural communities the help that they need. But what I will be guided by, and what I think is the most important, and if there's anything, if there's one thing that I say tonight, I would ask you to remember, is that I'm a local government guy. I'm someone who started my career as a county prosecuting attorney, and I know that the answers do not all lie in Columbus. The answers lie in Washington County and communities around here. We will go to you. We will go to the leadership. We will go to the elected officials and say, what role can we play to be of assistance to you in regard to this? Thank you.
Mr. Cordray?
Mark, thank you for your question, which was, what are we going to do about the lack of transportation and public transportation in rural areas? If you weren't getting anywhere before, you're still not getting there after that 90-second answer because he didn't have anything to tell you. Here's what I will do. We have said that we will put a bond package on the ballot to fire up infrastructure in this state, which, by the way, will mean economic development and jobs that will be spread throughout our communities all over the state, not just in a few places, all over the state. But what I've said is infrastructure to me means fixing roads and bridges. And believe me, nobody knows the problems of the roads like statewide candidates going all over this state. We need to fix our roads, all right? But infrastructure has to be broader than that. It has to be access to broadband, which has been promised to southeastern Ohio for years, but never delivered, and it holds up economic development in this area. I've also said it involves public transit. We have 27 counties in Ohio that have no public transit today. No way to get there unless you have a working automobile or somebody will take you, right? And we have no source of funding for public transit in Ohio. When my infrastructure package will create a source of funding like half the states in the country do. We need to do that here. This is a crying need. It's about how people get from home to work. It's about how they get from home to the doctor's offices. We can't be held back by a lack of infrastructure. We need to push forward and find a way to get things done, and I will do that. Thank you.
Our next question goes first to Mr. Cordray, and it comes to us from Thomas Johnson, who is the mayor of Somerset, Ohio.
How will you ensure that communities, small and large, have the ability to attract talent and businesses?
Thank you, Thomas. And I'm familiar with Perry County and the needs of that community, and that's where, of course, the school funding case originated from that was so important, the DeDorff case. Now, let me talk about what Betty Sutton and I will do to spread out opportunity across Ohio. So important. We have so many small and medium-sized towns in Ohio that have great quality of life, but they need opportunity in order to thrive. Here's what we will do. We will support our small and medium-sized businesses around the state. They're spread everywhere. They're half the workforce in Ohio. I provided low-cost financing to them when I was treasurer. We helped 881 small businesses across the state. They created and grew many jobs. We can do more of that at the state level, not just a few big out-of-state companies and big tax packages. Help our homegrown businesses. We also will fire up the infrastructure, as I just said, lots of good jobs that will spread throughout the state when we do that. You know, we were promised all this infrastructure in the presidential election. People like that. We would have liked to have had that. We haven't seen anything from Washington. We will hold their feet to the fire, but we'll get our program in place here in Ohio. We also will invest in clean energy jobs of the future that we should be bringing to Ohio, but we've been going backwards on that issue. And critically, says he's a local government guy, but for the last 8 years, they've been taking money from local governments to Columbus and not bringing it back. We will get that money back to your community so it circulates to improve the economy and helps community services in Somerset. Thank you.
And Mr. DeWine?
Mayor, thank you very much for your question. You do have a beautiful county and a beautiful community. We can help, I believe, in several ways. First of all, one of the legacies of the Kasich administration is Jobs Ohio. It's a tool. It's a tool that I think that we can use very, very well. My commitment to you is that Perry County, Washington County, Hardin County, all the counties that are around that are not in the three C's or a big city, we're going to make sure that Jobs Ohio is focused on those counties as well. And the best way we're going to know about that is through contact between you and me and John Husted and our team. We're going to be very, very open administration. There's a reason that my wife Fran thinks half the state has my cell phone. These are important things. So Jobs Ohio, energize, focus on our smaller communities. We've got to be pro-business, pro-jobs. Mr. Cordray talked a moment ago, sadly, about an Obama administration procedure that turned out to be wrong and was going to cost a lot of small job and small businessmen and women said not to do it. We're going to keep taxes low, keep regulations low. We, in addition to that, will focus a great deal on education. What happens in your career centers, what happens in your high schools is vitally important to the future of the state. We're going to have less testing,
time,
and more
Mr.
teaching,
DeWine.
And we have more things we'll talk about later. Thank you.
Thank you. This next question comes to us from social media. It comes from Pamela Million, a retired teacher from Columbus, Ohio. She would like to direct a question to Mr. DeWine. What was the delay in investigating the funding issues with ECOT, and were you influenced by campaign contributions?
Pamela, thank you very much for that question. I'm the only person on this stage who has taken any action against ECOT. Mr. Cordray was the Attorney General before I was the Attorney General. There was an audit done by the auditor of the state that showed that there could be a conflict. He took no action. We took action in the appropriate time. We took action after this Department of Education had found that ECOT was not following the law. We have a lawyer who's gone after them. We've won every single case in court so far, and we intend to continue to win. And we're going after not only after ECOT, the shell of ECOT, but we're going after the people who are behind ECOT. Here's the question, though, for the future. How do we avoid this in the future? I think you have to look at our online schools as a great option for some parents. It's a parental option, but you have to look at it differently than we look at any other school. So what John Husted and Mike DeWine are going to do, we propose this, and we will do it with the help of the state legislature. The company that's providing that to your child will get part of their pay, but they won't get all of it until it's fully determined that your child has gotten the education that they're supposed to get. This is good for parents, it's good for young people, and it's good for the taxpayers of the state of Ohio.
Thank you. It was Pam, was it?
Yes.
Who asked the question? Look, what you find again and again with Mike DeWine is every problem somehow was caused during the 2 years that I was Attorney General, but during the 8 years that he's been Attorney General with the very same powers, he's somehow not responsible for anything that's happened. It just doesn't add up. Now let's talk about ECOT. There's a lot of accountability here that was lacking. This is a charter school that lied its way to stealing $189 million from taxpayers, from you and me, from children, from teachers that should have been in the classroom. And it happened right under his nose. He's the Attorney General. He's responsible for protecting taxpayer dollars. And what he said is he couldn't do anything about it, until toward the end of his term. Now he has a lawsuit, but it's late. How much money have we recovered from ECOT? Zero. How much went out the door? Again, $189 million. Now, when I was Attorney General, I got a decision from the Ohio Supreme Court that said that you can hold the officials of failing charter schools personally accountable for the money that was lost. He should have used that decision, but he hasn't. And why? Because he got tens of thousands of dollars in contributions from ECOT officials, and his running mate got tens of thousands of dollars from ECOT officials, and those have not been returned. His running mate was also the Speaker of the House when accountability was stripped out of the law that would have stopped this from happening. So going forward,
time,
we need to fix
Cordray.
This, but going backwards, we need to hold people accountable who failed on this problem.
All right, thank you. This next question also goes first to Mr. Cordray. We have with us now Mel Schuler, who is a senior majoring in marketing here at Marietta. He's also from Columbus, Ohio. So Mel, welcome, and what is your question for Mr. Cordray?
What programs would you implement or have you implemented in Ohio to ensure that students from low-income communities are able to attend college, be successful in college, and also complete their degrees?
Thank you, Mel. And understand that this is very much on your mind at your age and many families across Ohio who are trying to bring their young people forward. Let me talk about that. First of all, the pathway to the middle class in Ohio, we need to understand that there are multiple pathways, and we need a flexible spectrum of skills training, including apprenticeship programs that need to be opened up. Some of our great union programs, let's open them up more broadly. We need certification programs. We need skills training, all things that will make people viable in the workplace and be able to sustain a middle-class income. But we also need to have paths to college affordability. Ohio right now ranks 45th out of 50 states in college affordability. Whatever we're doing in Ohio, it's not working for our young people and their families. Now, first of all, we can better optimize for families how to handle student loans and student grants. That's something I worked on at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It's something we can do here in Ohio. We can also get more college credits into high school so you can get a head start and get ahead on it and reduce the cost of a college education. And we're working to do that. We can do more of that. We can have 2+2 programs where you might go the first 2 years to a community college, more affordable, cheaper, and then you can transfer to a four-year college and get that degree from a four-year college. There's a lot of paths forward here, but we need to focus on this and understand that if we do not support our young people, our leaders, who end up coming out with millstones around their necks on student loan debt, then we are cutting off our future for Ohio.
Mel, thank you very much for your question, very important question. Excuse me a moment, just want to say something about the last question. It was asked, you might find it all interesting that when Richard Cordray and I ran against each other the last time, the head of ECOT gave him money, not me. And I don't think he ever gave it back. I'm not really sure about that. Very important question. There's nothing more important than the future of our young people. Fran and I have 8 children. We have 23 grandkids. We get the cost of college. I think one of the sad things is that we're seeing young people who are graduating from college who have huge, huge debts. That is affecting their lifestyle. It's affecting the job they take. It's affecting where they get married and have children. So one of the things I'm going to do is every state college in Ohio will have a contract with you or anybody else who goes there that for 4 years that price of that college is not going to go up, or that university is not going to go up. I will appoint people who are to the board of trustees of state universities so that the people, and tell them one of our main goals is to make sure we do not raise the cost of college, and we need to get that college down. In addition, in part of our plan, we have a specific raising of the money that would go to young people from the state of Ohio who go to Ohio colleges, not just the state universities, but the other colleges as well, and that should help some.
All right, our next question goes first to Mr. DeWine. It is from Rebecca Clutter, come on, you can stand up, Rebecca. She came all the way from Medina to be here today to ask her question of the candidates. So Rebecca, what is your question?
Ohio is in the heart of natural gas territory. What are your plans for involving natural gas production, and how does natural gas production play a role in your job creation plan for Ohioans?
Rebecca, thank you very much. Thanks for making the trip. Natural gas is one of the great things that's occurring now in the state of Ohio. We have to take care of the environment. At the same time, though, we have to make sure that this is a friendly place for companies to come in the sense that they can expand. If you look at the future of Southeast Ohio, it is, to me, very, very exciting. And as I mentioned before, the cracker plant that we hope is coming, we can't say it's coming yet, but we hope it's coming to Belmont County, that's going to make billions of dollars of investments directly into the state of Ohio. In regard to the shale play that is occurring, we will have the cheapest natural gas in the world in the world. And so why is that important? Well, it's important for us as consumers, but it's also very important because companies that are already here will have cheap natural gas, and this will entice other, make us competitively very great advantage to other states. So we will get more jobs that come in here. What we have to do in Columbus is to make sure that the communities are ready. And the communities are ready means that they have to, we have to have our young people who are educated, they have to have the skill sets, and they have to be ready to go so that we can expand that. When that
time
comes
Mr.
and gets
DeWine.
Ohio, we're rolling. It's already here. It's going to keep going further.
Mr. Cordray.
So I'll have a point of privilege here. So Mike DeWine is so weak on the ECOT question where $189 million was stolen under his nose. He actually criticized me because over the course of my time in office, apparently at some point, I received $600 from ECOT, tens of thousands of dollars from him and millions of dollars to Republicans. I've returned those monies to my school district, but he has not returned tens of thousands of dollars in his campaign fund. That's on ECOT.
You know,
now let's go to natural gas.
You know,
natural gas is one of the clean energy sources that we can push forward with much better than some of the other things that we can do, and it is winning in the marketplace right now. We need to fire up more energy production in Ohio, and I'm an all-of-the-above energy strategy. Mike described sort of the situation. I see the situation the same way, but that's just description. It's just reporting as a bystander. What we need to do in Ohio is look for how we can improve our infrastructure. And I've got that program that I laid out in terms of how we're going to fire up infrastructure in the state. That's going to be critical if we're going to bring that production here and win the competition among Pennsylvania and West Virginia and other states to make sure that those facilities are here. We also need to make sure that resources and revenues from fracking are returned to our local communities who bear the brunt. That is really important, and people in southeastern Ohio understand that. We can't keep taking all the money to Columbus and not be returning it to our communities here. That's critical. Thank you.
As we said earlier, a lot of our questions came from social media, from Facebook, from Twitter, and a lot of people had questions about this next topic. We picked the question that we thought was most representative, and we're talking about school funding. This question comes from Alexa Sebaugh. She is employed by a school system. She works for Belpre City Schools. Alexa says Ohio's school funding formula is patently unfair. It creates massive inequities between districts. It's been declared unconstitutional by the Ohio Supreme Court several times, and yet it persists with no change in sight. If elected, do either of you intend to tackle this situation? And if so, how will you do it? Mr. Cordray?
Thank you. I have a good friend who came out of the Belpre schools, a couple of them actually, Zach and Patrick Klein. And they have talked about their background, and Patrick now has a foundation he works with in southeastern Ohio to provide leadership opportunities to high school students so they can rise. These are the things we need to do. But it does start with fair and equitable funding for our schools. When I was state treasurer, we put together funding to improve the school buildings and school facilities across the state where we've made a lot of progress, but the legislature never followed with operating funds. Betty Sutton and I have pledged that we think that the DeRolf decision was correct. We think that the funding system remains unconstitutional, that the horizons of a child's future shouldn't be bounded by the zip code they happen to be born into, nor should the ability of teachers in the classroom be bounded by that either. So what we need to do is rein in the failing charter schools, get that money back into the classroom. ECOT took it $1 billion or more away from school districts across the state. Let's get that money back into the classroom. We will work with the legislature to improve the school funding formula, which is outdated and needs to be upgraded. We will also work with the legislature to reduce the unfunded mandates on our schools that make it so hard for teachers to teach students the way they're trained to do. Let's trust our teachers. Let's take the shackles off and let them do better work in the classroom. That's important. All of these things will help us create a fair school funding system and a more effective school system, and our teachers
Time.
Are at the heart of it.
Thank you. Mr. DeWine?
Alexa, thank you very much for that question. When I'm governor, I will submit a budget to the state legislature that is focused on our poorest children and focused on our poorest schools. That's the budget that we will present. That's the budget that I believe that I can convince the state legislature to pass. I've been pretty good throughout my career working with people, both parties, to get things done. I intend to do that. Let me talk about something else that's before that child, though, goes to kindergarten, and that is early childhood development. If you will look at our plan, MikeDeWine.com, you will find the most aggressive plan in regard to early childhood development that has ever been presented in the state of Ohio. We will triple the first year the number of families that get a home visit. And families is the key. The families that get a home visit, these are at-risk moms, first time. We will try to reach them before that baby is born, early on in the pregnancy, to get health, to get help all the way through. After that, it will help the mom to read to the child and learn to do the other things that need to be done. So that child, when he or she gets to kindergarten, when they get to kindergarten, they're ready to go and they're up to the front line. Very, very important.
All right. Thank you, Mr. DeWine. And this question also goes first to Mr. DeWine. This is Deborah Miller, who's joining us from right here in Marietta. Deborah?
If elected, what would you do to ensure that Ohio's natural water resources are safe for consumption, irrigation, recreational activity, fishing, and general use by the public?
Thank you very much. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources should be a jewel of our state. As someone who likes to camp, likes to fish, this is very, very important. Something relevant directly to this community. I sued DuPont. I'm the one that sued DuPont for what they have done over many, many years in making Teflon products here. They knew that there was a problem. They knew that it was dangerous. They continued to put it out, and we have sued on behalf of the state of Ohio. We face other issues. We face an issue at Lake Erie and some have said certainly in the Ohio River Valley as well in regard to algae bloom, algae growth. I support a plan introduced to the legislature by Randy Gardner, which would be a bond issue that would, over a 10-year period of time, really provide the money and the resources that we need to clean up our lakes, to clean up our streams that are going in. We have to pull together the agriculture community and the rest of the community, people who love to fish and love our lakes and streams, pull them together, put a plan together, but you have to have money. We will provide that money with a bond issue.
Mr. Cordray?
Thank you for asking about protecting our environment. This is one of the things our legislature has been so backward on, and we need to move forward. It goes to clean and renewable energy, and it goes to our waterways. You know, we're just steps here away from the Ohio River, and we have problems with the Ohio River, we have big problems with Lake Erie, and we have problems with waterways in between. Clean water and clean air should be a basic in the state of Ohio. The environmental groups like the Ohio Environmental Council have endorsed me, not Mike DeWine, in this race because they know his record of protecting the environment has been very mixed. And when he talks about the toxic algae bloom in Lake Erie, it's blossomed on his watch and he's not been effective at containing it. There's no plan in place right now to address this issue. He talks about supporting this, supporting that. There has been no action. Actions speak louder than words. I have said that we will put a plan in place immediately. It's got to be immediate because it'll take several years for all of this to work through. Farmers have to be at the table and the state has to be a partner and provide support. But on a variety of issues in terms of clean water and clean air, and especially clean water, our infrastructure plan will also help us have the kind of water and sewer projects that protect the clean water in our communities. We can't have a city like Toledo, a major metropolitan area in Ohio, have its drinking water unsafe because of algae blooms in Lake Erie, and the people in state office won't even recognize that the lake is impaired until very, very recently. Too little, too late.
Now, this next question, we received so many comments. It relates to public discourse. Some of the comments we got were kind of angry. I'm going to let you hear from the multiple people on Facebook that we got this question from. Kevin Ryan of Central Ohio. All of them say they are very concerned about the tone of public discourse. So here's how Glenn Fisher put it. There seems to be a growing level of destructive, negative discourse around the political arena. It is growing more vicious and less based in fact. Each election appears to reach a lower and lower level. We all need each other for democracy and our economy to work. If elected, how do you plan to mend the fence?
Every questioner who's raising this issue is on the mark. And a lot of this poor tone and divisiveness and pitting people against each other and blaming and scapegoating is coming out of Washington. And I want to stand for something different here in Ohio. I want to stand for politics that we can respect and be proud of. I want to stand for being able to reach across the aisle and get things done. And by the way, over the course of this campaign, I'm increasingly optimistic that we can reach across the aisle and I can work with the legislature on education reform. I believe I can work with them on infrastructure. I would like to work with them on criminal justice reform. I'd like to have some path forward rather than the failed status quo where opioid deaths continue to rise year after year in Ohio with nothing being done effective to combat it. When I was in the General Assembly, it was a Democratic House, a Republican Senate. George Voinovich was governor. We worked together to get things done. It was the only way to get things done, and I got a lot of bills passed and made a lot of progress. When I was state treasurer, we had a Republican legislature, and I was a Democratic official. We worked well on the budget, safeguarding our public funds during the financial crisis, and then I worked well on bringing money back from Wall Street to protect our pension systems in this state. We can do this together. But we have to maintain the right tone in our campaigns as well. People have to tell the truth. People can't lie their way to public office in Ohio. That's not the right answer, and the voters will be the judge of that.
All right, thank you. Mr. DeWine?
Throughout my career, I've pulled people together. My experience has been when people work together, they can get things done and solve problems. I'm a problem solver, but I don't solve the problems by myself. If you look at the rape kits, I pull a group together. I don't know whether Democrats or Republicans, but we pull people together, victim rights advocates. And they came back with a protocol that said you test every one. We went and tested them. And I worked with the Democrat prosecuting attorney in Cuyahoga County. We got the job done. Cuyahoga County has indicted over 700 of these people so far. Going back to when I was in the United States Congress, I got things done. We were able to pull things together. If there was an issue that had to do with foster care, I usually work with Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia. If it was a case about AIDS, something we wanted to do about AIDS, I worked with Dick Durbin. He and I had a real passion to help people overseas and in the United States. We pulled that together. You know, we don't agree on everything. Chris Dodd and I put together some amazing legislation that provided that when drugs are made by the drug companies, that they're tested for kids and so that there's a protocol for what kids can take and not take. So I'm the one on the stage that has had a long track record of getting things done, making things happen. My commitment to you as the voters of Ohio, I will pull people together, Democrat and Republican, when I'm governor of the state of Ohio. We will make
time,
things
Mr. DeWine.
Happen.
This next question also goes first to Mr. DeWine, and I know this is going to come as a shock to some of the young students here at Marietta College, but people still communicate by letter. And we got this letter from Guy Morrow from Newark, Ohio. And again, this goes first to you, Mr. DeWine. Guy says, in view of the devastating business losses all throughout our state, General Motors and NCR departing Dayton and DHL departing Wilmington spring to mind, and Coda Automotive reneging on coming to Columbus. I believe the candidates should be asked directly what steps they would take to minimize these types of events and what they will do if elected to encourage business here in the state of Ohio.
Guy, thank you very much. That's a right-on question. I will keep taxes down. I will keep regulations rational and and reasonable. Those are good things. We will focus on education because no business is going to come here unless they can get people to work, unless that's a deal stopper. So a lot of what John Houston and I are talking about is education, starting early childhood development, really focusing on our career centers. When the career centers work together as they do, with business, we see magical things happen because kids come out of there and they go directly into business. I will be a governor who is focused on jobs every single day. The drug problem is a huge problem, and it is not only killing many people, it is slowing our economy down. So many businesses tell me they can't find people to work because they can't pass a drug test. There's a fundamental difference between Mike DeWine and Richard Cordray on this issue. We have a holistic plan that I talked about, a 12-point plan. Tragically, Mr. Cordray does not. His plan is state issue number one. State issue number one, and he's almost all by himself, he and the ACLU, and I'm not sure who else, but even the Democrat nominee for Attorney General is against state issue one. State issue one is more drugs, more fentanyl, and if you live in Marietta, Ohio, or on the border, they're going to be coming over from West Virginia and other states. That's what's going to happen.
Mr. Cordray?
So the question wasn't about issue one, although that seems to be the only issue Mike DeWine knows how to talk about. The fentanyl that he talks about, he's been a grotesque failure on fentanyl. We had 70 deaths per year up until 5 years ago from fentanyl. Last year, we lost 3,431 Ohioans to fentanyl, all on his watch. Law enforcement has said that the drug cartels have flooded Ohio with fentanyl on his watch. What I want to see on that issue is some sort of change. We can't just maintain and double down on the failed status quo of Mike DeWine. We have to do something different. It could be issue one. It could be a legislative package. I'm for any change that will make progress on that issue, and it's a critical issue for Ohio. But let me go back to the question, which was about how we will spread opportunity across the state and make a future here and bring businesses here. I have said that we need to spread opportunity by supporting more effort on our small businesses, our homegrown businesses, firing up our infrastructure, bringing the clean energy jobs of the future so we can step into our future on that, and bringing money back from Columbus to our local communities. But let me talk about Mike DeWine's policies. He talks at times about 400,000 jobs that were lost 10 years ago during the national recession. It wasn't 400,000 jobs, it was millions of jobs lost all over the country. They weren't lost because businesses weren't trying hard or people weren't working hard or I was Attorney General for 2 years. It was because of his policies in Washington, tax cuts for the rich, taking the reins off Wall Street, and bad trade deals that failed Ohio.
Mr. Cordray, this question goes first to you. This also comes to us via social media from Dana Barb. Dana says Ohio's chronic pain patients are being denied their quality of life opioids because of new controls tied to the state's opioid crisis. Are you going to untie the hands of doctors and allow them to prescribe medications that they see fit for medical reasons to give to their patients? How are you going to help chronic pain patients?
Thank you. And again, you know, we're back to health care. This is such an important issue for so many Ohioans. Here we're talking about managing pain. The wrong way to do it is to allow overprescription of addictive painkillers, which is a path we went down in Ohio. We need to continue to crack down on overly prescribing those addictive painkillers, and we need to get those pills back out of our medicine chests and our cupboards and get them out of circulation in society. There's other alternatives that we can pursue. Medical marijuana has been approved in Ohio, but it hasn't been implemented. We need to implement it cleanly, fairly, and quickly and get that into circulation in the community. We also need other alternatives. And this is where, by my appointments to the pharmacy board and the medical board, we can ensure alternatives for people. But we also need to keep the Medicaid expansion, which helps people have coverage so they're actually in the system, so that they can manage their pain and manage their health care. Pushing them out of the system or shrinking down the rolls or throwing people off the rolls would be a bad thing for Ohio. It's not the right approach. And as I said, the cost of health care is so important. If people are talking about managing pain, can they get the right prescriptions? Can they pay for those prescriptions? Betty Sutton and I will use the negotiating leverage of the state to aggressively fight to keep costs down for people so they can manage
Mr.
their pain.
Cordray. All right. And Mr. DeWine?
Dana, first of all, I understand what you're saying as much as I can, in the sense that I've had people come up to me in identical situations that you are in, and I'm very, very sorry for that. It was not the intent. But we had to, for you to suffer. And what we hope is that through your doctor you can find other alternatives. One of the things we have to make sure we do is have the insurance companies cover other alternatives. Insurance companies many times were very eager or okay to pay for the opioids, but they would not pay for long-term work with a chiropractor or other possibilities out there. So we've got to expand how we look at this. I want to tell you how this came about, because you go back about 20 years ago, and you had the drug companies who basically told the doctors that these drugs, there's nothing wrong with these drugs. In fact, they're great drugs, they're wonder drugs, and they're not very addictive, not very addictive. We know they're very addictive. And the reason that I sued the drug companies so that we could get some money back for the state of Ohio, so that we could help people who are addicted, so that we could put some real focus on K through 12 education, so that we could do all the things that we need to do, is because they caused this problem. And I'm the one that sued them. We're going after them. We're gonna make them pay. We're going to do everything we can to make them pay for that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. DeWine. Gentlemen, this hour has gone by very quickly. That was the final question. We want to remind the voters around the state of Ohio that you still have time to register to vote. These two men are in a neck-and-neck race, and every vote will count on Election Day. They will be meeting again face-to-face 1 week tonight, from tonight, in the final gubernatorial debate. It's going to take place in Cleveland. We thank you for being with us. We thank our broadcast partner, WTAP. We thank the college here, Marietta College, for hosting this event tonight. And we thank all of you for being such a wonderful audience. Again, we remind you, register to vote, pay attention, and we hope you had your questions answered tonight as you heard these men speak from the heart about the issues that are important to you, the voters of Ohio. And I asked you earlier to not applaud. I ask you now to please give these men a round of applause.
Okay, see you next week.
You've been listening to a live town hall debate from Marietta College in Marietta, Ohio, here on 89.7 WKSU.